And now this evening, let us come before the Lord to see his word. Recently, my heart is overburdened by this particular truth of the Bible. And my brother read it for us, Deuteronomy chapter 7, from verse 6 to 11. My focus is going to be on verse 9. I will read verse 9 and I will tell you my subject, then we'll continue from there. Verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." This is amazing subject. As I told you, my heart is overburdened about some aspect of the truth in the Bible, that is knowing God. So my subject is command to know God. This particular verse, as we can see it, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God." And it continues to give us list of things to be known about God. So knowledge of God, as you may see, is eroded in the heart and mind of so many people. We are so much busy by doing so many things every day and every night and in every portion of our life. So the knowledge of God is eroded in the many believers' heart, which is very, very vital subject. The Moses, the speaker of this Deuteronomy, the author of this Deuteronomy, was preaching for the people of the Lord when they were going to the promised land. It was his last time. He will be departed soon. And before he departed, the people gathered together. I would imagine there were so many number of people gathered there, probably more than 500,000. I may be wrong, but the people of Israel were gathered around Moses, and Moses was telling them and teaching them and preaching them time and again as they were gathered there. And there were some important subjects mentioned by his preaching, but this is a vital subject for me. They are going to inherit the land, the promised land. And what are they going to do in their inheritance, in the promised land? What are they going to do when they enter into the place where they don't know before? They have been in the wilderness for 40 years. And so they must be told what to do when they are going to the promised land. I think in most of the time in our life, when we are facing some difficult issues or when we are facing different things, new probably, we may be confused. We may be, we may not know what to do. And there must be some vital things to know before our steps to be taken ahead. So this is the reason Moses was telling the people gathered together around him. Of course, at that time, there was no loudspeaker like this, and people were quietly listening the voice of one man, just one man, and there was no sound created by anyone. It was very, very reverent meeting. So the gospel and the sound of this speaker, Moses, was heard by most of them. I was thinking about the age of those who were gathered there. You remember the Lord God, when the people of God rebelled against him. And he said, many of them will die in the wilderness. Those who are younger than many of them, those who are not yet 20 years old, would survive the wilderness journey. And now at this particular place, except two people, that means Caleb and Joshua, all of them were under 60 years age. So you can imagine most of them are young people. So this is vital to be told for them. So what is the issue that Moses was telling them and wanted to impart in their heart and mind? So this is a command to know their Lord. But before the command, I would love to see a few verses, verse 6, 7, and 8. So the people of the Lord, how they become his people is reiterated for them. You see in verse 6, the Lord God told them, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God." These people, who are the true believers, of course, are the people of the Lord. We must understand, if we are true believers, true believer means the people of God. So the Lord say, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God." God is their God, and they are his people. We are his people, and God is our God. This must be put in our heart and in our mind. And the Lord continues, "The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself." So this has been told for them. The Lord, their God, has chosen them to be a special people unto himself. And he continued, "Above all people that are upon the face of the earth." I was Googling how many people are living in the entire world now. And if you Google how many people are there now in earth, you come up with a number which tells you that 8.1 billion people are living now in this earth. 8.1 billion is very much number of people. But you see, among all these people, the Lord our God has chosen us to be his people. But not only to be his people, but he says to be his special people. We are special people to the Lord our God. We are special people because we are bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are special people because we are chosen by him. And when he continues talking about this particular subject, the author and the speaker, Moses, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, in verse 7 says, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people." People may think, "I'm chosen by God because of my color, because of my status in society, because of my education, smartness, and so on." They may think like that, but the Lord God told them, "No, nothing is counted before me that makes you to be my people. Just I loved you and I chose you. By my grace, you became my people." This is our doctrine, and this is our the truth that we heard many a time. And verse 8, "But because the Lord loved you," he loved us and he cares for us. It's amazing to be loved by God. "And because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, the promise he has made, the covenant he has made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He always keeps that covenant and that promise. So because of that promise, you belong to me. Not because of anything you do, but because the promise I kept, and because the love I have for you, and because the grace I bestow upon you." These are the truths that are explained, that should be gleaned from these verses. Then when he comes, how it did happen, he described the great salvation work, and he said, the Lord of your fathers, who sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So this is done by redeeming grace of our Lord. He rescued them from the hand of Pharaoh, from the hand of sin, from the bondage of sin. We are rescued and we are made free by the grace and by the power of our Lord. So this is a reminder to them before verse 9 continued. They are his people and we are his people, and they are told what to do, command, and we must hear this command too. So the command, verse 9, command given to the people of the Lord and for us as well. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So this command is know your God. And there are 4 points mentioned in this verse, and verse 10 and verse 11 as well. So I will list them one by one. But the command, the main command is know thy God, who is our God. So let me politely ask you, dear friends, this evening, can you truly say that you know the Lord? Can you truly, in your heart and in your mind, in your spirit, can you truly say that I know the Lord and I'm walking with him day by day? Can you say that? I don't know. You may say, but this is a command for the people of the Lord. What are they going to face? What kind of morality they should follow in the land they are going to inherit? What manner of life they should live in the land they are going to inherit? So what manner of life you should live in this world before neighbors, before friends, before relatives, and before work colleagues, and even school colleagues? What kind of manner are you showing? What kind of temptations, ups and downs, morality you are going to face? So all this is tied up with this particular command. The word to know is very important word. Probably you've heard it. The word know has two meanings in both Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament Hebrew, there are two meanings for the word know. Two words, actually. One means perceptual knowledge, and the next one means experiential knowledge. So if the knowledge you know is perceptual, there is some doubt that you may know that particular thing in your heart and in your mind. If it is experiential knowledge, you know it for sure, and it is an internalized knowledge, so no one can deceive you by or from that knowledge, I can say. So this experiential knowledge is the one mentioned here. Know him experientially, know him practically, know him in your inside and outside is the idea here. It's not just perceptual knowledge. I know perceptual knowledge can lead people to experiential knowledge, but the knowledge that is referred here is experiential knowledge. I may need to tell you a silly illustration. If I am eating here an orange, I peel and eat. All of you know perceptually, now at this moment, let me say, you see it, but I am peeling it and I am eating it. And it is going to be internalized in my whole system soon, but you see it. And you may salivate, but you see it. So the knowledge we have on this particular orange is not similar. It is internalized with me. This is the idea that is, this illustration is, I know, silly, but there is no other illustration I could get to bring to bring into your understanding at the moment. So You see, when God said, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God," the idea is know him experientially, know him practically, know him as you practically know some other thing. It's wonderful. Our Lord and our God is willing to be known. You know, there are so many gods in the entire universe. I mean, in the entire planet. There are people who call trees to be their gods. I have seen people calling river their god. I have seen people sit next to them, bring money and say to Nile River in Ethiopia, Nile River, our mother, our father, Nile, you keep us safe. And they throw money to that. And they think that is God. But that is not God. Can you know a river for yourselves as our God is known? No, you cannot. That is just that is not normal. But our God is willing to be known. He is the creator of heaven and earth, and we are privileged to know him personally. So the first mention of knowledge is, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. This is the first one. You must know the Lord, your God, that he is God. He is God. Our God is God, the creator of heaven and earth. He is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he is the almighty one. He is the all-knowing one. He knows everything about you, about what is happening in the universe, and about what is happening in our world. And he knows everything. He knows everything. There is nothing unknown by the Lord. And even this time is known by him and designed by him. So, dear friends, we must know our Lord, our God, that he is God. He is creator. He is sustainer. He is self-existing one. When he revealed his name for this man, Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when Moses asked him, "What can I say if the people asked me, who is that God who sent you?" And the Lord God told him, "I am that I am, always existing, wherever existing. He is here, and at the same time, he is in America. He is here, at the same time, he is in Ethiopia. He is here at the same time. He is at your home. He is everywhere, our God. He is self-existing God. He doesn't want us for his existence." Some people are foolish when they come to church and they do organize their worship system. They think by loudly singing and by singing an hour and hour and hour, they think they are going to add some kind of glory or some kind of something for him. But our God is not like that. He is self-existing. He is self-glorious. He is amazingly loved. And he is wonderful. We must know him like he is. So the command is, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. And we must know that he is God. And the second command is, know therefore the Lord thy God. He is the faithful God. Our God is faithful God. This is my second point about that command. Know he is faithful. When you face difficulty, when you face ups and downs in this world, when you face temptation, and when you face trials, you must know that he is a faithful God. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He never breaks his covenant and command, commandment. He never breaks his promises. He is faithful God. So these people should know this before they cross the Jordan River and go to inherit the land that is promised to them. They must know during fighting their Lord is faithful. They must know when they are facing difficult issues, everywhere, the Lord their God is faithful. If we know he is faithful, fear will dissipate from our mind. People are afraid of so many things. People are worried about so many things. I know the life we live and the situation we are in this entire world is so fearful. People are fearful of the future. I was a few weeks ago, I went to Kansas City to present the work of the Bible translation for some Ethiopians, and I had to take plane. And when I returned back to my city, a lady, I have this bag and I have my computer and I have also a Kindle wherever I go, I read, I have my books in there. And I forgot my Kindle in my bag. And when my bag goes without the computer, they saw the Kindle and they stopped the bag and they start to inquire what is inside the bag. So I told them, just open and see it. But one lady approached me as the bag is passing without the Kindle. And she said, have you stored the food? And she was serious. Have you stored the food? She asked me. Why for? I asked her. And she said, you must store food. You must store the food. You must store food. You must store food. 3-4 times, she told me. I understand she is worried. Maybe she is worried there will be nuclear war and everything will be disappeared. I think that is in her mind. I told her, I'm Christian. I don't worry. And I have enough. I don't want to store. And do you know the Lord? I asked. And she just went back. So people are worried as to what will happen. But if we know the Lord our God is faithful, and the Lord our God will never leave us alone, the Lord our God will never forsake us, the Lord our God is faithful to us and to his promises, we will not be worried. Fear and power of darkness cannot bring us down by any way, by any means, because our Lord is faithful and he gives us strength and he gives us encouragement, he gives us consolation and he gives us fruitfulness and he gives us so many power that is needed to us by his grace and by his mercy. So we must know one thing, that he is God. And two, the second one, he is faithful God. Our God is faithful God. And the third one in verse 9 again, he mentioned our God is a promise keeper God, which keepers covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. What a blessing it is. Our God is a promise-keeping God. He never, never fails his promises. He gives his promises to Abraham, and it is proved that he kept his promises. And he gives his promise even in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. You remember the promise God made to Eve, and thy seed, and the seed of the enemy, but your seed will crush the head of the enemy's head, the enemy's seed head, and that promise is fulfilled by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the work of the grace. And the promise, wherever the Lord gave his promises, he always keeps his promises by his love, by his grace, by his kindness, and by his mercy. So, dear friends, this evening, we must remember that we must know that who our God is. He is a promise-keeping God. He never fails his promises. And we can trust him and we can walk with him in confidence and in having our joy by trusting on him. The fourth one, it comes to verse 10, and repays them that hate him to their face. to destroy them. He will not be a slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. You see, we must know the Lord our God. He is righteous judge. He is righteous judge. He will judge the people who hate him. There are so many people who hate him, and even the people of Israel, when they are crossing the border and want to live in the promised land, when they meet and mix with the people, the heathen, the Gentiles, the Lord God warned them. If you go up to verse 4 and verse 3 and verse 2, the Lord warned them. He mentioned seven nations in verse 1 and in verse 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter, thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter thou shalt take unto thy son. And verse 4, a warning. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So you see a warning. You have to know the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, and if you want to follow fashion of this world and so many things of this world, you will be deceived by them. And the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, as he said. So knowledge of God is really important. And also not only knowledge of God, but knowledge of who he is in judgment. He judges sinners. He will judge. He is a righteous judge. He will never allow rebellious people to go to the kingdom of heaven. And not only that, he will never allow sinful people to live a peaceful life. They don't have peace. In Isaiah, in one chapter, at the end of one chapter, the Lord, my God, says Isaiah, there is no peace for sinful people. They will not have peace. You can imagine their authority or the level of prosperity, but they don't have peace. And even they don't eat. They gather so many things and they see and they don't eat. That is the world. That is the world. So the God, our God, is a righteous judge God. He will judge sinful people, those who hate him. And those who hate him, he will repay him to his face. Just face to face is the meaning of this particular statement. So I mentioned four things. We must know the Lord, our God, that he is God, one. And we must know the Lord, our God, is a faithful God. And three, we must know that the Lord, our God, is a promise-keeping God. And we must know that the Lord, our God, he is a just, righteous God. So he will judge unrighteous people. But it is interesting to understand and to know our Lord is gracious. If we come to him, the judgment that we should bear is already taken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have peace with God. And we can escape that judgment because of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took the judgment upon himself, the judgment of us upon himself. So we are highly privileged and highly honored to be known or to be considered as people of the Lord. Yes, knowing God is vital. When we know God, we can walk with him. When we know God, we can have patience with others. When we know God, we can be forgiving for with one another, because God is a forgiving God. When we know God, we will be totally different than we are. It is sad when you see people have so many evil character in just being called a Christian. Is different, but people are grumpy sometimes, jealous sometimes, unloving people in the church and in so many other life activities. But if you truly know the Lord, your entire character will be changed. You will look like our God, who is patient and who is loving and who is forgiving and who is caring and who has big heart, long-suffering heart. And it's amazing to know God is really vital. We live in this world who doesn't know the Lord, our God, and people are suffering. If we know our Lord, we can be compassionate for them, because the Lord, our God, even he is judge, even if he is righteously judging, but he is compassionate as well. He cares for people and he wants them to come to him, to repent their sins and to trust on him, to be converted before his face. So, dear friends, knowing God is really vital. We are living in a difficult world, but our hope and our strength will come from knowing God. These people are told to know him before they cross to the promised land. I would love to read for you Daniel, Prophet Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32. This is important verse as well in the Prophet Daniel. And it says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries." Then he says, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit." You see, in the time of weariness, in the time of judgment, in the time of evil things happening in the world, but strongly comparative word, it says, "But the people that do know their God," if you know your God, you shall be strong and do exploits. So you shall prevail, you shall be strong, you shall be sustained, you shall be blessed, and you shall be really encouraged by that wonderful knowledge. I want to mention one thing before I come into my conclusion. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ, you see him praying for his disciples, and his disciples were listening as he was praying. You know what? The first thing in his prayer, after he introduced the prayer, the first thing he mentioned is that his disciples should know the Lord for themselves. They have been with him for 3.5 years, and they have seen him doing miracles. They have seen him doing so many things, walking on the water, and so many things, of course. And now he is praying before them. Now, verse 3, "And this is life eternal," he said as he prayed, "that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples and for us, that they may know him, they may know God. So we can ask, do they not know God? They know, of course, but they have to know him more and more. I suppose you know God for yourselves, but you have to know him more and more. You have to know him more and more. No one has finished knowing God. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul again mentioned that he would desire to know him and the power of his resurrection. So can you imagine the Apostle Paul desires to know him, to know Christ more and more? This must be our desire too. He has seen him after his resurrection, but he desires to know more and more. Younger people, I want to advise you, put your effort to know God for yourselves. And those like me, we must put our efforts to know him personally and to walk with him personally and to love him personally and to enjoy that amazing eternal blessing of walking with him. How can we know him? This is my concluding remark. How can we know him? We can know him by daily drawing near to him, by our prayers and by our devotions. We must come to him for everything we do, and we must ask him, and we must close near to him day by day, hour by hour, when we are driving, when we are riding a bike, when we are working, whatever we are doing, draw near to him and he will draw near to you. This is one. The second one is by studying him through his word. The Bible is the revelation of himself. So we must read the Bible diligently, honestly, open-heartedly, and the Lord will reveal himself to us, made known himself to us, and we will be confident believers who know the Lord and who have his blessing in our heart and in our mind. And our blessing will be communicative. I mean, it will be communicated to our friends and our neighbors and our relatives, as well as our colleagues. And they will know that you know the Lord. And they will know that you are special people. They will know that you have peace, peace of mind, by knowing the Lord, our God. May the Lord bless us and bless us by the true knowledge of him who is willing to be known. Let us pray. Brief prayer. Our gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your great kindness, mercy, and love you have demonstrated throughout the history of Christian faith, both in Old Testament and New Testament. We thank you for this revelation, and we thank you that you advised us this evening to know you more, to know you personally, to know you experientially, to know you practically, and that we can walk with you as your people in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, walked with you. We remember Enoch, who walked with you. We remember Noah, who walked with you. O Lord our God, please make us like them, to walk with you, to love you, and to glorify your name in our personal life, for many, many to be blessed by seeing us, even by hearing from us, the message of that knowledge that you put in our life through the experience of our life. May you bless this church, bless pastor, and bless deacons and elders of this church, and bless the work of Sunday school, bless the work of outreach, even this Saturday, knocking doors. O Lord our God, bring in many here to hear the knowledge of your eternal and amazing love through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And bless us all and be with us all. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen.
Amen.